Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio.
It is Salsa Friday on The Savage Nation. No man is an island. By attacking Trump, they attack his voters. Welcome to the program. Many of you who are loyalists to this show heard yesterday's monologue or monologues and thought it was the best I've done in a long time. And it's now being widely circulated because it is the best defense yet against the Soviet era press that we have in the United States of America today. It came out today that the so-called journalist at the New York Times, someone named Schmidt, admitted he never saw the Comey memo himself. He never saw it. The whole thing was built upon a house of lies. Even the slime balls of slime balls, the senators, the worst people on the planet by and large, if you're a really evil lawyer, you become a senator. This one, I've never seen anything like this. Here is Dianne Feinstein going on Wolf Blitzer. You know, Wolf Blitzer is one of my favorite pinatas to beat up. You know why? He is a despicable human being of the lowest kind. How could a man who comes from a nation that is persecuted like Israel spend his entire life persecuting people with the podium that he has on the Crescent News Network? How did he not learn anything, any of the wisdom of his ancestors in Israel? How did he not learn anything from the Bible? How did he learn nothing from the Torah? How did Wolf Blitzer learn nothing from the ethics of the fathers? How does this man get up in the morning and shave? Well, if he shaves, I don't know, but how does he get up every morning and look at himself in the mirror and not say, I am a despicable man. I am a man on the level of those who work for Joseph Stalin. I am a man who would have loved to work for Mr. Beria in the Soviet Union, destroying people's lives with smears and innuendos. So as a prelude, she, Feinstein, goes on Blitzer and actually admits she's seen no evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russians. I've never seen anything like this. They started the smear campaign. They started the persecution. And she says on Thursday she has not seen any evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. That's what she said. Now, I've noticed something's happened in the last day. The Soviet press and the Democrats have dropped the Russia narrative and the calls for impeachment. It stopped. It stopped dead cold. Does anyone out there know why it stopped? Does anyone listening to this show have any idea why the Soviet press and the Politburo politicians of the Democrat Party have stopped the persecution of Trump? Why is it stopped? Because I want the answer to the question. I'm not going to take credit for it. Don't think I'm leading you there. But something happened yesterday inside me, and I think maybe it happened inside a lot of you. I began by saying no man is an island. And I was quoting a poem, For Whom the Bell Tolls, from a great poem that approaches a religious writing by a great white male European poet, John Donne. And he wrote, no man is an island entire of itself. Each is a piece of the continent, etc. And he said, when you hear the bells ring, he said, do not ask for whom the bell tolls, because it tolls for thee. And the reason it tolls for thee is that we're all part of the same humankind. But that does not include the Soviet era press. They are the most separated from the human race that I've ever seen. They're not part of the human race. I've called them polyps because a polyp found in a colon is to be more respected than the people who call themselves reporters. These same left-wing evildoers have destroyed our universities, attacking everything European, attacking every invention ever made by a European. Now, what does it have to do with Trump? Well, nothing to do with Trump directly, but the poem begins with no man is an island. No, he's not an island. And yet he's being torn apart by the people without souls who do not realize that tearing him apart, they're tearing themselves apart. And by tearing apart the truth, as they are doing with their lies, they tear apart decency and democracy itself. They tear apart the presidency. they wash away our nation. And if you think that they're only attacking Trump with their smears and innuendos, you are mistaken. The Feinsteins, the Blitzers, the Tappers, the New York Times crowd, they are attacking the foundations of our very nation. And that's what I talked about yesterday. And that is why I started with the great poem, For Whom the Bell Tolls, by John Donne. After tearing apart Donald Trump on completely invented grounds, the polyps in the Democrat media live for one thing only, and that is to destroy not only Trump, but the nation itself. And here's the odd part. Instead of talking about the real enemy of Western civilization, which is radical Islam, they have created a false narrative, a false enemy called Russia. Suddenly to Dianne Feinstein, suddenly to Jake Tapper, suddenly to CNN, suddenly to MSNBC, Russia is the bigger enemy than is radical Islam. Can anyone listening to the show tell me what Russia has done to the United States of America to harm us? The answer is absolutely nothing. Were it not for the Russian military, namely the Russian Air Force, ISIS would still be cutting off heads and still setting people on fire while they're alive. Never forget, because I don't forget history, it was the Russian Air Force, under direct orders from Putin, who started to attack ISIS. It was not Barry Hussein, Obama, who refused to do the job. Listen to me very carefully on the Savage Nation today. Civilization itself is under attack right now. Civilization itself is under attack right now. And if you think the attack on Trump is not an attack upon Western civilization, then you know nothing about the history of the radical left. I'd like to open the show up. It's open mic to Mike Friday, 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Listen to clip number two, where you hear the so-called New York Times journalist, Michael Schmidt, admitting to the other fake newser, Brian Williams, that he never saw the memo upon which the entire fallacious attack on Trump is based.
Why is it the Times has the story but not the memo?
Well, I've been working on a story for the past few days about the fact that Comey had written these. We thought that that was pretty significant in and of himself. And then in the process of pushing on those doors this morning, I learned more about one of these memos. And someone that had seen them recounted details to me. We felt comfortable with those details. We did some diligence on the information.
You hear the voice?
And we realized how sensitive that information was and how potentially important it could be. And we moved as quickly as we could.
Try him. Take this man and try him. Put this reporter on trial. Let me tell you something. Just because you're a reporter doesn't mean you can make things up and destroy lives. Let me tell you something. You cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. And you cannot smear a man, be he a lowly plumber or a lowly carpenter or a lowly garbage man or the president of the United States. There are libel laws in this nation. And this polyp just admitted that he built the whole thing upon a house of cards. Just listening to his slimy voice, you know what kind of person he is. You went to school with children like this. You know what kind of sneaks they are. And you think because they work for the New York Times that makes them kosher, it makes them better, it makes them cleaner, it makes them wholer, you are mistaken. Now, the president will not attack him and sue him for libel. But I want you, the listeners of this show, to understand that we are living through a revolution in this country right now and a civil war in this country right now. The civil war began with Hussein Obama. The civil war began when he pitted race against race, when he pitted one race against the police and started a war on police that has left dozens and dozens of policemen dead. The police in America are afraid to do their jobs because of the snake that occupied the White House for 8 straight years. The journalism profession has descended to that of the Soviet Union, where they're now using fake memos based upon phone calls that they haven't even seen to try to bring down a presidency. And yet, here's the terrible truth. Propaganda works. The terrible truth is that the propaganda of the Soviet left is working its wonders, destroying everything that we believe in. But as I said yesterday, and I will repeat today, in viciously, or shall I say maliciously, attacking Trump, they're attacking every one of us who voted for Trump. They're telling all of the hundreds of millions of us well, what is it, 30, 40, 50 million of us voted for him, whatever the number is. They're telling the tens of millions of us who voted for Trump that we're no good, that we're liars, that our votes don't count. Moreover, what they're doing here is destroying our agenda. And the agenda is very clear. It's an agenda that the senators do not want. You see, the senators like it the way it is. You see, the Democrats like it the way it is. And what is the way it is? Well, here's the way it is. They fight the fact that sanctuary cities, so-called, are the conduits for illicit drugs in the United States of America. No one's ever said that to you. Follow the money. And then check out the senators who fight most strongly to maintain sanctuary city status. You see, the drugs come through the border. They are then transported by human mules into the cities. And the police cannot do their job effectively because of the laws that these senators and congressmen put in place to hamstring law enforcement. And so the drugs then are transported from these sanctuary cities to the rest of America, poisoning our nation. So if you want to know why all of these very, very good Democrat senators and all of these very, very good Democrat congresspeople are so in favor of sanctuary cities, if you actually think it's because they have compassion for people from south of the border, you are more naive than you can ever imagine. It has something to do with nothing to do with the compassion. It has to do with they like the drugs. They like the drug flow. They like the crime flow. They like the fact that the criminals with tattoos running up and down their bodies, who the police are trying to stop, are intimidating the middle class in this country and keeping us cowed so that these criminals in the Senate and in the Congress can continue to rob us blind without us saying a word, without us looking at their double dealing and their behind the dealing. So, my friends, there's all a connection here, and it's usually monetary. It has nothing to do with advancing humanity. It has nothing to do with compassion for the poor. It has nothing to do with that at all. Because if it did, they wouldn't be flooding America with cheap labor, would they? They would be helping the poor Americans right now who are begging for good jobs. They'd be helping the poor whites who want to work. They'd be helping the poor blacks who want to work. They wouldn't be bringing in cheap labor from every cesspool on the planet. Now, that's just the beginning today. But the big question today, and I'd like to see your answer, is I've noticed that the Soviet-era press and the Politburo called the Democrat Party has stopped the Russia narrative cold. And I'd like to know what stopped them, because it happened overnight. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, so the Soviet press is at it again today. The so-called New York Times, which would have been a very happy publication during Stalin's time, with editor-in-chief Mr. Beria in charge, now they're out with another bombshell. President Trump told Russian officials in the Oval Office this month that firing the FBI director Comey had relieved great pressure on him, according to a document summarizing the meeting. I just fired the head of the FBI. He was crazy, a real nut job, Trump said, which was read to the New York Times by an American official. Here we go again. I faced great pressure because of Russia. That's taken off. Trump added, I'm not under investigation. Again, an American official. The White House document, which was based on notes taken from inside the Oval Office. Again, who's the leaker? Because the leaker should go to jail. See, the issue here is the leaker. The leaker goes to prison. It is illegal. And I want to know who you think the leaker is, because this is the biggest mystery story of all. I'd like to know who it is that Trump trusts, who is his Brutus. I'd like to know who you think is destroying Trump from within, because someone is doing it. The fact of the matter is there was no obstruction of justice. Everybody knows that. There's nothing to do with Russia. Russia, I will remind you, was our natural ally, is our natural ally against radical Islam. And were it not for the Russian Air Force, ISIS would still be expanding rather than retreating and running away. And so Russia is our friend, not our enemy. Our real enemies are within the press and within the Democrat establishment. They have declared war upon us, the Trump voters. With these smears, with these innuendos, with these lies, with this libel, they have declared war on our desire for secure borders, English as the central language, and a reaffirmation of the American culture. That's right, you heard me. It's an attack upon our very sovereignty. These are the same mindset, this is the same mindset in America that they had in Europe and they had in England, in London in particular, opposing Brexit. The real English, that would be the working English, and I don't mean necessarily the poor working English. I would mean the nationalists in England. I would mean the fishermen in England who loved England and the English identity, wanted to escape from the bureaucracy that was strangling them, a bureaucracy run out of Brussels by a group of technocrats and bureaucrats who had no respect for the sovereignty of England. And so they exited from, as you well know, the European Union. That was Brexit. We, the Trump voters, were the U.S. exit voters in America. I don't have a simple name for it. I'd like to come up with something clever, equal to Brexit. Maybe you can help me with it. Amexit, maybe that would be good. How about Amexit? That's a good one, but it's a little too much like Amex. But for now, we are the Amexit voters, and the senators, the congressmen, the New York Times, the press, the Soviet-era press, they are the ones opposing Amexit. They do not want us exiting from the New World Order, do they? They do not want us to have secure borders with Mexico, do they? They do not want us stopping the importation of third worlders into this nation, who steal our jobs, who bring in disease, and who otherwise dissimulate the United States of America in every way you can imagine, destroying our culture. Do you feel like an American when you walk in the city of America, a city of America? You feel like a stranger in your own country, don't you? Well, you shouldn't. There used to be an adage, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And that means you want to be a citizen? Get online! You want to be a citizen? Learn our language and learn our culture or get the hell out of here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
So, know the truth and the truth shall set you free. It's what I was raised on. Do I live up to it every moment? No, I do the best I can. Of all of the adages or all of the, let us say, prescriptions of the Bible. I call them prescriptions, not prohibitions. Many of you think the Bible's all about prohibitions, and of course there are many, but there are many prescriptions in the Bible as written by the good doctor in heaven. And one of the great prescriptions written by the good doctor in heaven is to tell the truth. We are living in an age of lies and fabrication. It's not fake news. It's way beyond that cute little phrase, fake news. Men like Wolf Blitzer should be tried for whatever the crime it is he's committing, by smearing the President of the United States based upon innuendo. I guarantee you this is a crime. I can guarantee you this is the work that would have made Lavrenti Beria, the longest lived and most influential of Joseph Stalin's secret police chiefs, very, very proud. Lavrenti Beria was one of the most dangerous people in the history of the Soviet Union. He was the one who oversaw the smearing of any enemy of the state. He was the one who administered the vast gulag labor camps. Maybe that is something Wolf Blitzer would like to do during the next administration. Stalin brought Beria to Moscow back in 1938, and he made him the head of the secret police, the NKVD, the secret police. And this was during the Great Purge, where millions were imprisoned or executed. Millions of people throughout the Soviet Union were imprisoned or executed as alleged enemies of the people. And it was because of people like those in the media today that these millions were executed or imprisoned. Make no mistake about it. It was based upon smear and innuendo. All you had to do was point at your neighbor and say he was not loyal to the state. The next thing he knew, he was taken away. Ask the Soviets about it. Ask your Russian neighbors who lived through this if I'm making this up. And this is how communism was built. And the fact of the matter is they accused people of being traitors or spies. And interestingly enough, Beria himself fell to the same exact methodology. After he was ambushed by Mr. Khrushchev. Khrushchev launched a scathing attack on this former KGB spy chief, the NKVD spy chief, and he accused Beria himself of being, listen to this carefully, of being a traitor and a spy in the pay of British intelligence. Does it sound familiar? Is that not exactly what they're doing to Donald Trump and his associates? Did you hear what they're doing now? They're doing exactly what was done in the Soviet Union. Well, when he was accused, Beria was taken by surprise. And he said, what's going on, Nikita Sergeyevich? Why are you picking fleas in my trousers? But then Beria and all the other defendants who were accused falsely of being in the pay of British intelligence were sentenced to death in 1953. This is what we've descended to with the New York Times and the Washington Post, which is now the Amazon Post. They are Soviet-era news rags that put out false information to destroy their political enemies. And I want to repeat something I said yesterday, but in a different way. By attacking Donald Trump, by smearing Donald Trump, they are smearing every one of us who voted for Trump. By using the tactics of Beria that the communists used, they are smearing every one of us, every one of our voters, every one of these decent Americans like you and me who went to the polls. We didn't beat anyone up. We didn't burn anything down. We didn't attack any police. We didn't use the vile tactics of Black Lives Matter. We didn't use the cowardly tactics of those with masks over their faces in Seattle and Berkeley. We bit our tongues and we went to the polls and we voted. And now by attacking Trump with these lies, they're attacking our vote. By attacking our vote, they're attacking democracy itself. They're attacking the presidency. They're tearing down the halls of civilization. And I'll pause right there. Cindy on WBOB line 2, what's on your mind?
William Shakespeare's Hamlet said he was acting mad in craft. He told his best friend Horatio, I will be putting on antic disposition because I want to know who my enemies are, specifically if Claudius murdered my father. And I had to laugh this morning when I heard the news that Comey was hiding behind a curtain, because as you know in Shakespeare's Hamlet, Polonius was hiding behind the curtain. However, Donald Trump reached out his hand when he knew Comey was behind the curtain to shake his hand. Hamlet took his sword and speared through the curtain because he knew Polonius was hiding back there. I had to point out this to my students. Love Donald Trump. I think that the media thinks he's crazy, but he's a very smart man, and he could just be playing the Hamlet role.
Unbelievable. I assume you're an English teacher?
Yes, sir. I teach honors English, and I am a conservative Christian Republican, and my students all know it.
God, I can't believe you're allowed to teach in this era of the Soviet academic establishment. How did they let you get away with teaching the truth?
Well, I did just do one thing the day after Trump won. I wrote the word triumphant on my board, and I just put in different colors the TR, the UMP.
What happened? Did they censor you for it?
Already a student had texted his mother, and my principal immediately came to my room to discuss it with me. Do not people are have heavy hearts. People are very upset. All I did was write the word triumphant, and I just put the T-R-U-M-P in different colors.
Well, we have to fight back, and there are many ways we can fight back. I noticed that if we expose these principals, these provosts, these so-called chancellors for who they really are, these sneaky communists, they usually get in trouble. Like, did you see what just happened to that Mrs. Chu at Yale who talked about white people as white trash?
Oh, yes.
You know that they fired her? Even at Yale, they fired the Chinese whatever she was, because in her tweets or her Yelp reviews, she was saying this is an establishment that only white trash would like. This is what is mentoring our children?
Well, there are some of us out there where we're not.
When are we going to have the counterattack in this country? When are we, the decent people of America, going to stand up for ourselves and fight back against these fleas? That's what I want to know. When are we going to use a hot forceps to excise them from the bowels of America like the cancerous polyps that they are? I'll stop right there because I do cherish my program. And I don't want to get too emotional right now because I'm liable to really say something that I will regret. Thus far, I have not said one word nor one comma that I regret. Let me send you a copy of Trump's War because, again, without promoting it, I'm going to say it again and again and again. This book is more important today than it was the day I wrote it because it contains all of his promises made on the campaign trail. And if you think I'm going to forget any of the promises, you are mistaken. I've just begun to remind Donald Trump of his promises, and I want you to do so as well. Phone number here is, what a great call that was, am I right? About Hamlet, many of you think he's just play acting, but I want to go back to the issue of how the Soviet press have seemed to have dropped the Russian narrative. Oh, I know there are two new releases from, again, the fake Old York Times and the Bezos Post or the Amazon Post. They're making this up. They're building again on falsehoods and lies. Why do you think the Russian narrative has suddenly stopped? Why have they stopped that? There's a reason for this, and I don't know the exact reason. It's not because of my monologue and my passion from yesterday. Don't get me wrong. But something happened. Vince on KSFO, what's your suspicion?
Boy, that was a fabulous caller before me, Dr. Savage. That was great.
Oh, she was. Yeah, she's the backbone of America. She's the English teacher we all wish we had.
Oh, without doubt. So my suspicion is this is coming from the intelligence agencies and most likely the National Security Council. You've got vermin like Susan Rice who have been protected so far. But I actually think that special counsel could be a good thing. I think that this is going to lead to a review of what's going on with the intelligence agencies because it appears that most of the leaks are coming from that apparatus.
But wait a minute. Hold on. They're not in the room with Donald Trump when these things are being leaked. Someone else is in the inner circle. He doesn't have all these people around him when things are going on. It's somebody closer to him.
Michael, I don't know that those are leaks. I think those are more fabrications. Those are fabrications that are being...
Well, yes. Dianne Feinstein just admitted it was all a fabrication on old Wolf Blitzer's Soviet news network. SNN, the Soviet News Network, had Dianne Feinstein, the Queen of Diamonds, up there admitting that she's never, ever heard seen the memo herself, and there's no evidence whatsoever. What do you make of a thing like that?
I'm not surprised at all, because, like I said, it's been propaganda, but this is going to...
But why has Feinstein suddenly backtracked so rapidly? That's the question. Why has she suddenly admitted that she's seen no evidence of collusion between Trump campaign and Russia? She's added the Senate Intelligence Committee. Why all of a sudden is she so, all of a sudden so neutral? What happened to her?
Michael, the snooping has been going on since before Obama. It accelerated.
No. I want to know why Feinstein has admitted she's seen no evidence of collusion between Trump campaign and Russians. Why did she backtrack so quickly? Miss Smiley Button, why?
Because the evidence, there's no evidence there. No,
well, you think she's honest? You think she did it because suddenly she had a revelation that she must be fair and honest? No, something else happened. I don't know what happened. Something else is happening inside. I don't know what it is. I'd like to know why. Something else happened. Well, Trump is on his way to the Middle East. Again, I really regret that he's going to Saudi Arabia, to be honest with you. I'm not too happy with this. Why would he give major weapons of war to Saudi Arabia is something I cannot truly understand. Why would he give the Saudi Arabians the ability to build their own weapons is something that makes no sense whatsoever. Now, you may say, well, okay, what we're doing here is we're going to build up the princelings of Saudi Arabia, because they're our ally against the rising threat of radicals within Saudi Arabia, the rising Iranian threat, the rising ISIS threat out of Yemen. But what is it that they don't understand inside the Trump campaign about giving these kind of weapons to Saudi Arabia when it was the Saudis who produced the 9/11 hijackers? Never. Do you understand this? There's something wrong with this picture. I understand there may be some thinking from some group within the Trump campaign that it will make Saudi Arabia equal militarily to Iran. But I'm not so sure that that's what's needed right now, because they could turn those weapons not on Iran, but on Israel. They could turn those weapons not on Israel, but on Europe. You never know what could happen with the Saudis. Never. I'm sorry, there's something wrong with this picture. But why do the liberal, Democrat, progressive, neo-Marxist, Islamist conspiracy theorists so badly want war with Russia? Why do the liberal, Democrat, socialist, neo-Marxist, Islamists in the Dem propaganda machine want war with Russia so badly? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You know, a great night's sleep can help you have a great day. It's true. I'm having a lot of great days because I get a great night's sleep every night on my Casper mattress. The Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that gives you all the support you need and guarantees you get the best night's sleep ever. You see, it comes to you in a box that's so small you're not going to believe it holds a mattress. It's very easy to get into your bedroom. And I happen to love that Casper lets you try the mattress for 100 nights in your own house, in your own bed, risk-free. And they'll come pick it up if you don't love it as much as I love mine, and they'll give you back everything, no questions asked. From its breakthrough design to its packaging to letting you try it for 100 nights, it's no wonder Casper was named one of the Fast Company's 50 most innovative brands of 2017. And believe me, sleeping on a mattress, right, sleeping on it at home is the only way to try it. It beats lying on a store mattress with people looking at you. So get a Casper and get a great night's sleep every night like I do. Just go to Casper.com, code Nation. You're going to get $50 towards the purchase of this mattress. Casper.com, code Nation, $50 towards the purchase of this great mattress. Casper.com, terms and conditions apply. So he's on the way to Saudi Arabia. Mistake. Mistake, mistake, mistake. Should not have been the first, but the last stop. Well, who was advising him on this? Trump and First Lady Melania. Oh, thank God she went. I was worried about that one. Embark on their first foreign trip since they entered the White House with Jared and Ivanka in tow. Jared and Ivanka in tow. Starting to remind me of Obama's mother-in-law living in the White House. I'm sorry. I don't like it. I'm sorry. I know that I shouldn't say it. I know that it's alienating the Trump clan from me. I know that it will alienate the president from me. But I also know I'm right. I'm very, very right. I didn't vote for Jared Kushner. In fact, had Jared Kushner been seen with Trump before the election, and I had been told he'd be so prominent as he is now, I don't think he'd be president. Anyway, they're making their way to Saudi Arabia, first leg. Then Israel, Rome, Vatican City, Belgium, and Sicily. I guess the Sicily is for the octopus and the G7 meeting. And when he's over there, he's going to honor Islam, Judaism, and Christianity in the same breath. Very good. Yeah, okay, that's terrific. And then he's going to have a Mideast peace meeting with Netanyahu and Abbas. And I gave you a 50-50 this week that at the Wailing Wall he's going to shock the Israelis and the world by coming up with a stunner in order to get the illegitimate press off his back. And that's going to be, he's going to announce a two-state solution. And there they are, Jared and Ivanka, marching along like we voted for them. Why they're there? Sorry, not making me very happy. First lady's outfit, the orange dress, leather. I don't know, on the way to Khan on the way there? I don't know, the gray shoes and the orange dress. They're very nice outfits, but again, that's a pleasure after what we had before. I mean, this is very stylish. He and First Lady Melania are seen boarding Air Force One at Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland. What a treat that would be to fly on Air Force One. It sure would be getting taped to a chair and beaten up by a United stewardess, wouldn't it?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
That's what I grew up in. Cuban music, Puerto Rican music. Actually, the best salsa I ever heard was in Panama when a ship stopped over on the way back or to South America. I got out one night. And I went to a bandstand. I asked, you know, where's there some good music and this and that. And that night fell, and I went to this bandstand in Panama. I heard the greatest music I ever heard in my life at the time. I don't get down there much anymore. I haven't been to Panama in quite a long while. What I liked the most about it was the fact that at this dance, there were grandparents at the dance sitting on chairs. There were infants asleep in the arms of the grandparents while the daughter and the son-in-law danced. It was something to behold to see the culture at that and those dances. Something I miss. And I was just in a side note before I get into the other stuff that I've been railing about here on the show, which is that how suddenly the Russian narrative has fallen apart and it stopped cold, and why Feinstein goes on to bury his grandson's show, Wolf Blitzer, and says there's no evidence whatsoever. She tells Beria Jr., Wolf Blitzer, I haven't seen any evidence of collusion between Trump campaign and Russia. And the junior Beria, Rudolph Wilkenstein, whatever his name is, Wolfenberger, is shocked and stunned. He thought he would have a big expose about evidence. So the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee says she's seen nothing. But it hasn't stopped the smear artists. That's all. Anyway, there's some other news out there we're going to talk about. Leaked chat logs purport to show deep state planning anti-Trump stories with the media. Paul Joseph Watson, great reporter, InfoWars. And here's his little paragraph. Images purportedly circulating on the dark web show unidentified individuals alleged to be members of the intelligence community scheming on how to plan stories with the media to embarrass President Trump. Pay attention, Wolfie. You may get caught up in this and you may go to jail. And that goes for you, Jake. Any one of you who's picking up false stories and planting them, it's very early in the administration. You, if it is shown there is collusion between any of you in the media and the deep state, and you knowingly planted anti-Trump stories, you're going to jail. If you think that you have total press freedom to do anything you want, you're mistaken. You cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. You cannot smear people knowingly. And if that's what you're doing, all your little Soviet-era barriers, you pay careful attention. Don't think we're all stupid. We're watching you. We're recording you. We're keeping notes. We're communicating with the Trump team. And if you are doing what we fear you're doing, you're going to jail. It's a long way until this administration leaves the White House. A very long way. And we have very long memories. All of us Eddies and Ediths out there. We know what's going on. We know who you are. We know exactly what you're trying to do to our agenda. See, we don't think it's Trump himself that you're after, all of you little Soviets in the press. You're after us. You're out to embarrass the voters of Donald Trump. You hate us. You're sick of us. You want us to go away. Well, unfortunately for you, it's not communist China. You can't line us up and shoot us. All you can do is assassinate our leader, and that's what you've been trying to do. But it's a long way to Tipperary, as the song goes, and Tipperary has not yet been seen. And if along the way it is found that collusion occurred between the reporters and those in government or elsewhere to smear the president, or others for that matter, you're going to jail. You do not have carte blanche to smear people. If someone smears me and makes stuff up about me and they put it on the web, my lawyer goes after them. And either they retract it or we sue them. It's that simple. We may live in a land of freedom, but not in a land of lies. You want to lie about others? Do so at your own risk. Which brings us back to the main question of the show, which is why all of a sudden, have you noticed, the fervor, the anti-Russian fervor has stopped. Why, even DiFi herself, even the Queen of Diamonds, has stopped smearing Trump and stop with the Russia stuff. Does anyone know why? Anyone guess why? I think you can pretty much guess why. Let's take the callers. Or if you want to talk about, wait a minute. Maybe you want to talk about Trump's trip. That might be more interesting than the smear job. Because if we talk about Trump's trip, we can talk about, I don't mean his acid trip. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about a Trump's trip to Arabia, Rome, Israel, Sicily, and all of that. And what do you think is going to be accomplished? What do you think they're going to do there? I don't like the Saudi Arabia part very much myself, but I'm not the president. Departed on a five-stop diplomacy tour through Europe and the Middle East. It's not a diplomacy tour. It's a business trip. It may be a little diplomacy, but there's a lot of business at stake. Hundreds of billions of dollars of arms sales to Saudi Arabia. Make no mistake about it. Presidents of the United States have always been arms dealers, one way or the other, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican. You can write that one down. They're glorified arms dealers at a certain point. So he's out there peddling arms now to Saudi Arabia. Terrific. Just what the doctor ordered. The time of Islamic terror. Go give an Islamic nation advanced technology and to go sell them ships and tanks and give them not only that, but the technology to build them themselves. Very smart. Who's advising them, Jared? Jared, who's advising this, Jared? Jared, I'm asking a question, Jared, now that I know you're in the air. Jared, who's advising this trip to Saudi Arabia, Jared? Jared, I'm asking a simple question. Who is advising that he give this weaponry to Saudi Arabia, Jared? I'm only asking the question. I'm not saying that Jared is. You see, it's the way it's stated. And if it's transcribed what I just said, you think I'm saying Jared is doing it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying who is doing it, comma, Jared, question mark. Not who is doing it, comma, Jared, exclamation point. I mean, the question mark is the whole point. Okay, so all is not perfect here. Just because I'm defending Trump against the Soviet-era smear artist doesn't mean that I defend everything he does. This is a big mistake. Very big mistake going to Saudi Arabia. Her outfit's crazy, by the way. You got to see these pictures that they got of this outfit, this orange leather skirt and the gray heels and the... No wonder Pence is smiling walking behind us. Sorry, I couldn't resist. No, Trump's in the front. Melania's number two. And there's Pence smiling behind Melania. Sorry, couldn't resist. Can't help myself. Is Pence going or not? No, I think Pence stays here in case, God forbid, right? Number two stays. Okay. Okay, they're going to Marine One. And they go to Marine One. They're already in the air. Having a meal in a plane. Jared's probably sitting at the head of the table. Toasting probably with the fried onions of some kind, probably a special onion dish. Why is stop number one Saudi Arabia, Riyadh? That does not make sense. To me, the first stop should be Jerusalem. Number two, Rome. Even that's a mistake, incidentally. Why is it a mistake? I'm now the communications director. I'd say, Mr. President, let's talk about not going to Saudi Arabia for a minute. Well, why do you say that? Well, two reasons. One, the security there is a nightmare. They don't have their country totally secured. Number two, Mr. President, most Americans who voted for you know that it was 19 Saudi hijackers who brought down the Twin Towers on 9/11. They're not going to forgive that. They're not going to forget that. They don't like the Arabians, and they don't like the Saudis in particular. Why are you going there? Okay? Why are you going there? What, to sell them weapons? Okay, that's number one. I would cut it out. Now the Vatican. Uh-oh. Now, you got to understand, people who don't understand Christianity very well, meaning the politics of Christianity, may not follow me, but most evangelicals are not big fans of the Pope. Do you understand that they're diametrically opposed in many ways? That the teachings of the Pope, now put aside his Marxism, why is he going there? What is that about? All right, the Catholic vote, terrific. But most intelligent Catholics don't happen to like this Pope. They know that this Pope is a total and absolute politician who has eschewed most of the teachings of his own church to push a form of cultural and social Marxism. Oh, God, don't tell me she's going. Oh, no. Oh, there's a picture of her again. Is she on that plane? Can anyone tell me? Is Splay on that plane? Is Kellyanne, is the barfly going? No, I don't want to believe this. What? There's Rince Priebus, he's going too? Okay, and Keith Schiller, president's personal security guard, okay. It says out. Vice President Pence and Conway. Oh, she's not going. Oh, while the cat's away, you're going to see her on every show now. She's probably got special outfits, a new hairdo, new earrings, new teeth whiteners, a new jaw backer, something to push the jaw back a little bit. Oh, boy, I'm a real fan of hers. Okay. Well, now wait till you see the posters. It's going to be of Trump and the king, Together We Prevail. Not good. The Saudi government is playing up the Trump visit, hinting that they're going to cooperate with the U.S. to fight Islamic radicalism. Do you believe that? Do you actually believe that? Do you actually believe anything that a man who lives in a tent would tell you? A man who celebrates his years as a Bedouin, a man who was known for slave trading. I mean, let's put it to you this way. Let's cut out all of that fancy rhetoric. You trust the king of Saudi Arabia to fight with us against radical Islam? I don't think so. But the Saudis are going to play up the Trump visit to the hilt, which is liable to damage him here. Again, a mistake. U.S. flag is seen as Royal Guard patrols the hotel where U.S. President Trump will stay in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Okay, I would say he's probably safer in Saudi Arabia than he is in most places. Do you know what kind of security our president has in Jerusalem? This is something to behold. I'll give you a one-minute version. We all know that he has an armored vehicle. So does the lowest star in Hollywood. But the president and his 1,000-person entourage, what? He's bringing 1,000 people with him to Jerusalem and Bethlehem next week? Bomb-proof, poison, gas-proof, bulletproof hotel room, built to withstand the collapse of the entire building, according to Sheldon Ritz. Is that the name of the hotel, the Sheldon Ritz? Oh, he's the ops manager for Jerusalem's King David Hotel. Can you imagine having a name like Sheldon Ritz and you're in the hotel business? That's funny. I thought he was staying in the Sheldon Ritz. The presidential suites have independent air conditioning in case of a gas attack and are built to withstand a rocket-propelled grenade. He said of the super luxurious suites that cost around $5,700 per night. But still, the U.S. is bringing rocket-proof glass to put in front of the window. If the whole hotel blows up, the suite will come down in one piece. Oh, God. Does it have rubberized shock absorbers? So maybe a few broken bones, but they will be alive, said Mr. Ritz. Come on. Adding that the King David would become a mini White House. Okay. In order to prevent explosives-laden cars from ramming the hotel, two buses full of heavy equipment will be placed at the end of the main road. Balloons carrying infrared cameras will float above the building while bomb-sniffing robots will lurk in sewers beneath it. In Israel, are the robots allowed to sniff on Saturdays? Or is it because they're not human? They can work on Saturdays? I got to look into that. Did the rabbis kosher the robots? I don't know. Every piece of food for the president will be certified as not kosher but safe with a tester. A tester overseen by Israeli and U.S. security officials perusing every meal destined for Trump and his family. That's astounding. Wow. A food tester. Could you imagine if Trump had sent me an email saying, Mike, would you like to come with us on the trip? You could be the food tester. We really enjoyed having dessert with you. We have a job for you, finally. It's not overseeing the NIH, but we'd like you to be our food tester. That would have been some insult. No, I didn't get that email. First of all, the idea of a food tester is stupid. It's antiquated. Because they can poison you slowly. You could get sick, God forbid, in 20 days or 30 days, not in 20 seconds. So this whole idea of a food tester is idiotic. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Going to China. China came here, President Xi, and they had dinner at Mar-a-Lago, and Donald rewarded him by unexpectedly launching rockets against Syria during dessert. Why is he not going to China? Okay, so he's going to Saudi Arabia, He's going to meet with King Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud for coffee. Now, you know, it's an alcohol-free nation, as you well know, because although Muslims are not allowed to drink, ask anyone who's ever gone to college with any of the princelings. See if they don't drink behind their own closed tents, some of them. Okay, but okay, they don't drink. Donald Trump doesn't drink, so he'll be at home. But what about the people in his entourage with him? Can they sneak back on Air Force One and get a little... And here's another question. I want to, just a side note, just occurring to me. You got Air Force One sitting on the tarmac, probably in a hangar, no doubt, guarded by our own people. There's booze on that plane, for sure. What if some of the staffers drink and they sneak back on that plane on Saudi territory and have a drink? Because it is U.S. territory, even in Saudi Arabia. I'm wondering, are you allowed? Someone's going to tell me yes or no or whatever. All right, but all kidding aside. They're going. He's going to Masada, but he can't go to the top because they won't let Marine One land on the top of Masada. And it's for the reason I told you yesterday. My speculations are always 100% right. It was the Secret Service was unwilling to put the president in a dangling cable car. That's why I don't ride them here in San Francisco. Trump does plan to visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It's a word I never could pronounce going all the way back to grade school. Built on the site where Christians believed Jesus Christ was buried and rose from the dead. He will also stop to pray at the Western Wall, lay a wreath at Yad Vashem, a Holocaust memorial. All right, standard fare for a president. Actually, I think he's the first president, sitting president, to go to the Western Wall. And what's he going to put a little note in there, the yarmulke, the note? And you know, this whole don't get me started again with that whole thing. The whole thing with the notes in the Western Wall. So what, Santa Claus in heaven looks down, and while you're sleeping, boys and girls, he sneaks down to the Western Wall and he pulls out the notes and he goes through them. And he says, this one I will do and that one I won't do. Okay, very good. Then he's going across to the West Bank to meet Mahmoud Abbas. It'll mark Trump's second sit down with the Palestinian Authority's president. That's a big one. Then on to the Vatican.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
On this Open Mic to Mic Friday, the president's in the air en route to the Middle East and Europe, as you've been talking about. Suddenly all of the collusion talk with Russia has stopped coming out of the mouths of the Soviet-era Politburo members. Suddenly it's come to a halt. And we're talking about that. We're talking about his itinerary. We're talking about all these things. Here are some of the headlines. Feinstein, I haven't seen any evidence of collusion between Trump campaign and Russians. That she told to Mr. Beria's grandson, Wolf Blitzer. I haven't seen any evidence of collusion between Trump and Russians. All of a sudden, she's Miss Neutral? On another note, babies born to Muslims to exceed Christian births, study predicts. Within the next 20 years, the number of babies born to Muslim parents is expected to surpass births to Christians and all other religions, according to a new study by the Pew Research Center. That's very interesting. The study confirms previous research predicting that Muslims will be the fastest growing religious group during the next few decades. I wonder how that's going to fare for the world. Unless there is a little reformation within Islam, not well, I would guess. For those of you interested in health items, parents killed baby with quinoa milk diet. No kidding. A seven-month-old baby sadly died when his health food nut parents fed him a diet of quinoa milk, so-called, and other gluten-free, lactose-free dairy alternatives. Listen to me, you idiots. You stupid people, you who listen to these trendy diets. You're killing your children by putting them on these gluten-free, lactose-free dairy alternative diets. You understand that your children have different needs than you do? You may be insane. You may be insane and think that you want to live on these stupid diets, but your children are going to suffer and probably sicken and in some cases die. They grow at a much different rate than we do, and they need large amounts of proteins. They need a large amount of fat, by the way. They need a lot of natural sugars, incidentally, for their energy supply. The lawyers told the courtroom, the parents determined their own diagnosis that their child was gluten intolerant and had a lactose allergy. By the way, he didn't. Not a single doctor had a dossier about the baby, and Child Protection Services did not know about them. The poor little baby was just 9.4 pounds when he died in 2014, half the size of the average baby his age. Are you listening? How sad this is? The boy's nutty health food mom and dad, they owned a health food store, by the way, diagnosed him with food allergies, but they never went to a doctor. Even after the poor baby started gasping for air in his final days, they still didn't take him to a doctor. This is in Belgium. Oh, man, this is a sad story. The hippies ran a natural food store, and that's why the baby is now dead with quinoa milk diets. I see it everywhere I go. I see the parents in these sushi joints feeding the children pinworm sushi every day. You got growing boys, 12 years old, dying for protein, dying for fat, dying for all of the nutrients found in a piece of meat, a hamburger once in a while, a piece of chicken, a fish. And you see them feeding the boy like he's a Hollywood starlet trying to lose weight. Feeding a boy sushi, especially if you're feeding him raw fish sushi, you're feeding him a death sentence. Pinworms. Almost all the fish is filled with worms. Oh, I know you don't want to hear it, because Gwyneth Paltrow told you that's the way to eat, and you know how much she knows about everything. Look, be forewarned. It's as simple as that. It's a different story. Years ago, I wrote a book, The Art of Feeding Children Well. Great book. Still around. Classic by this time. Used to be a passion of mine. Wish I was still in that business. I wish I was still in that world. It was a wonderful world. This is a different world. This is not a blood sport, the world I'm in. This is a combat sport. This is like mental football. Okay, so getting back to the visit, let's see. Tel Aviv, we covered. He can't go on to the, he can't go up to the Masada. He's not missing anything. And it was because of what I suggested, because the president, the Secret Service said you can't go in a dangling cable car. And the Israelis will not let Marine One land there because it'll disturb the artifacts from the back sweep of the helicopter blades. Speaking to a friend this morning from Israel, and he said, you were right, Michael. He said, Masada is used only for the special forces in Israel who have their graduation ceremonies up there. The regular soldiers have ceremonies elsewhere, but that's for the Israeli special forces only. It's an amazing place to go. I mean, it doesn't mean that much to me in that I'm not an Israeli. I'm not a Sabra. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't born there, and my grandfather didn't fight in the Seven Days War, and he didn't fight in 1947. In fact, he died before I ever met him, somewhere in Manhattan. I don't know where he died. He's buried in Queens. Okay, now Bethlehem, blah, 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 Vatican City, or audience. What do you mean audience with Pope Francis? Why do they call it an audience? Don't they have that backwards? Well, no, not in terms of numbers when you think about it. The Pope is a politician at the end of the day. So you could say, okay, he's bigger. Trump's audience with Pope Francis could be a tense one, since the so-called pontiff questioned Trump's commitment to Christianity during last year's election in reaction to his pledge to build a wall between the U.S. and Mexico. Trump fired back writing, quote, for a religious leader to question a person's faith is disgraceful. Still, he will take advantage of the Holy See's hospitality with a full tour of St. Peter's. I'm sure Melania will like that part of it. Get some decorating tips. Brussels, Belgium. President first meeting with leaders from all 28 NATO members. We'll provide him with the opportunity to press them for greater financial contributions toward keeping Russia in check. Duh. Again, Russia came into this? Underlying commitment to NATO, blah, blah, blah. King Philippe and Queen Matilda, Prime Minister Charles Michael, blah, blah, blah. A working lunch with the newly elected French president of the Rothschild Bank, Emmanuel Macron. That's the best part I'm going to miss, though, is in Taormina, Italy. That's the one I wish I'd... Can he just ask me to come in for that? The 43rd G7 summit held on the island of Sicily will be a chance for Trump to press America's blah, blah, blah. It will also allow the president to appear presidential, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but here's the part that I really miss. Trump will also attend a dinner hosted by Italian President Sergio Mattarella after seeing the famed La Scala Philharmonic Orchestra. Now, that would be a... I mean, come on, that's one I would love to have been at. That dinner, are you kidding me? I'd faint after the first course of sitting there. I couldn't take it. I'd rather go to one of my favorite pasta joints and eat within 15 minutes and get out of there. I don't have the patience for these state dinners. One of the reasons I never considered a career in politics is I can't stand sitting through these long dinners and fundraising. All right, see, he's on the way. Oh, it is a dangling cable car. See, I have a picture of it here from the Daily Mail. See, it's like a ski car. Very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Pope has good teeth. I'm looking at the picture. They don't have good dental work in Italy. Maybe he comes to the Bronx for a good dentist. The Italians are good dentists. It's a strange phenomenon. I'm just a little slider here. A little slider. There's an expertise in the Italian people in certain areas. We know about their famous cuisine, right? We know that they're excellent in the hair department. But did you know that many of my friends go to Italian dentists? There's something ancient about that. I don't know what it is. It's like a dental thing. I don't know. I can't go. I don't know. I can't figure that one out. They all have good teeth. Unlike the British. You look at the British. Rotten teeth. Bad dentistry. How is it that certain cultures are good in one thing and bad in another? As I say, the Italians good in hair cutting, dentistry. The British horrible in haircuts. You ever see a good haircut from Britain? Never. Never. You ever see a man who looked good from England, a good haircut? They all cut their hair off now to look bald. They gave up on the English barbers. Teeth? Forget about it. Take a look at the teeth. They all look like the Kennedy relatives with cavities. Sorry. No, look at the teeth on this guy. For an old guy, all right, I'm going to get past the teeth. I'm getting hung up. It's a little OCD now. Okay. God bless President Trump. Da, 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 da. So the scandal went away already. See that outfit she's wearing? You got to see this picture in the Daily Mail. I'm sorry. The orange leather form-fitting dress is a killer. Fantastic. Is she going to visit the Pope in that? I hope she visits that old bum and that old man in that dress. Oh, I hope she violates protocol in an orange dress with high heels. Would I love that? And there's Jared Kushner again with their Sphinx face. No expression on Jared ever. Always that Sphinx. Always you wonder what he's hi ho. There's Melania giving an air kiss to in picture three. It's Melania giving an air kiss to Vice President Pence. It's interesting. Okay, nothing there. Trump's suit today, it's a little tight. Every day it's getting tighter. It's like the amazing tightening suit. He's under pressure. He doesn't drink, so what do you think he's doing? She's in New York most of the time. She's spending a lot of his time tweeting and eating. That's all. He probably says things to me. I wonder if he could tweet jokes once in a while. Here, I give him one joke. You ready? If I were President Trump, I'd start tweeting jokes to lighten things up. Here's one I wrote for him last night when I couldn't sleep. When I was a young man, before I was married, I used to have a lot of females. Now all I have is a lot of emails. That's not a bad joke. I give it to the president for free. He can have that one. Wiener pleads guilty to sexting with minor. Well, 2 years, breaks down in the court and cries. Huma files for divorce. Boring. Who is this guy The Rock is going to run for the who would vote for a tattooed, muscled moron? These people are really stupid. You know, they think because Trump was in the entertainment business and he won, now every putz in the entertainment business thinks they could win. They don't even understand he had a message based upon me and my books, my last five books. You know, they ought to get a message before they decide to flash their biceps and their triceps and their abs. What else do you want to talk about? Trump's visit, we did that already, covered. Gone. King David Hotel. Let me go back to that for a minute. You don't know about the King David Hotel. You know that it was targeted before in 1946 when militant Jewish Zionists who were killing for an independent state bombed the hotel that was the headquarters for the British Army and killed 91. You don't know about that. Oh, you know that no nation was ever forged in peace? You don't know that either. Every nation on earth is forged in blood. Do you know that as well? I love when you have the revisionists here. Oh, America stole a land from this one. Oh, the America stole a land from that one. Well, they go back to their homeland where they came from. You'll find out that their homeland, so-called, was built by stealing a land from somebody else. But the fact of the matter is virtually every nation on earth, every nation state, was forged in blood. Occupation, domination, extermination. Oh, yeah, big story. I think I'm going to tell you about it another day. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Hit it. up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you say, ugh, I wish this bag under my eye would just go away. Well, you're not alone, because bags and puffiness under the eyes happen to be a problem for millions of American men and women right until now. But now there's the new GenuCell serum with plant stem cell technology from Chamonix. Susan from New Jersey wrote, she said, I've been using GenuCell for a couple of months. The puffiness around my eyes is gone. Even the crow's feet and small lines have disappeared and have not come back. I love your product. I use it under my eyes, around my cheekbones, and on my eyelids. Not only Susan people, millions of people use it, and they love it. And with its instant effects, you're going to see results in the first 12 hours. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back. Chamonix has extended their amazing Mother's Day sale all the way till now. Call now and get a free month supply with your order and free upgrade to express shipping. It's simple. 800-SKIN-891. Write it down. 800-SKIN-891. If you order today, Chamonix will include a surprise luxury gift absolutely free. Just call 800-SKIN-891. Write it down. 800-SKIN-891. You got it? That's 800-SKIN-891. This is the Savage Nation. We're talking about all these topics and more. But the big topic of the day is why, oh, why, oh, why has the Soviet press and the Democrats dropped the Russia narrative? Why, after Mueller was appointed, did they suddenly shut up? Did they suddenly dummy up? Did they suddenly turn around 180 degrees? Oh, no, says Feinstein. There's no evidence of collusion, she says to little Minnie Beria there, Wolf Beria Blitzer. He says, you've not seen any evidence of collusion? Is that right? Well, no, she says. There's no collusion, but there's... Now, this is the woman who's the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee. She says there are newspaper stories. Are you listening to how sick this all is? There are newspaper stories. I'll tell you why. I've asked you the question, but it was a rhetorical question. The reason the Dems have dropped the Russia narrative is because they're afraid that in going through the Russia connection, they're going to get burned even more than they could ever imagine. We all know about Hillary and Bill and the Uranium One connection. We all know about that. Everyone knew that. But if he starts sorting through the Hillary emails that were hacked, and Mueller does, it's going to take him years, by the way. One of them is liable to go, or many of them are liable to go to prison. You don't know how far this could reach. They're liable to find that there were business dealings between, oh, let us say, some highly placed American officials on the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist side, and Russia itself, going back into the Obama years. And they're running scared now. They don't know where this investigation will lead. It's open-ended. It's not limited. There's no limitation for this particular position. This is not like a closed Senate hearing where they can tell each other how far to go and what not to do and what to do. Mueller is just liable to look into the whole package and say, wait a minute, guess what? I did find collusion, but it was not with Donald Trump and his team. It was with some other people. And I want to tell you about these other people. For example, Senator X did business with Russia, or Congressman X had a husband who did business with Russia, and they did it for many, many years, and we have evidence of that. What would you say then? I mean, that's one theory as to why they dropped it. They're afraid this is going to come back to bite them. That is my suspicion, and that's almost the end of hour number two. The president's in the air on the way to the 16,000-mile diplomacy tour. It's really an arms deal. Call it a diplomacy tour if you want. Do you have any idea what this is costing us with this security? 30 C-17 military planes arrived in Israel on Thursday. What do you think this trip costs? I mean, what's fair is fair. Okay? How much do you think this trip is going to cost the American taxpayer? Think, add it up. Is it worth it? There is email and a telephone. There is Skype.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award.
It approaches a religious piece by a great dead white male poet John Donne. It's a short one. And he wrote this. He said, "No man is an island entire of itself. Each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thine own or of thine friends were. Each man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind. Therefore, send not to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee." 1624, John Donne, no longer taught by the polyps in the U.S. academic establishment. The polyps who have turned academia into a cesspool of left-wing hatred for everything Caucasian, everything European, everything that is great on this earth created by whites, now expunged by the polyps who have taken over every aspect of the academy. Now, what does that have to do with Trump? Nothing. Nothing to do with Trump in a way. For whom the bell tolls? Well, the poem begins with, "No man is an island." He's not an island. And as Chuck Schumer and the other illegitimi on the left continue to tear him apart, they do not realize they're tearing themselves apart. As they tear apart the truth, as they tear apart decency, as they tear apart democracy, as they tear apart the presidency, they're washing away our nation. And if you think they're only attacking Trump, you are mistaken. They're attacking the foundations of our nation. And that's what I want to talk about today. And I said to you at the early part of the week, I'm going to try and begin each program with some biblical quote or whatever. Today I began with a great poem that approaches a biblical quote because it's as good as anything that the ancients wrote. But there is an ancient thing from the Ethics of the Father that is a one-liner that says, "Do not judge alone, for none can judge alone except one," meaning only God can judge alone. "Do not judge alone, for none can judge alone except one." Apparently, Chuck Schumer forgot all of that after he put down his religious studies, if he ever had any. After tearing apart Donald Trump on completely fallacious grounds, the polyps in the Democrat Party live for one thing only, and that is to destroy. To destroy, destroy, destroy. And now, here's the odd part. Instead of facing the real enemy of Western civilization, which is radical Islam, they have created a false enemy called Russia. Suddenly, Russia is the bigger enemy. What has Russia done to America to harm us? The answer is absolutely nothing. Were it not for the Russian jets, ISIS would still be cutting off heads and setting people on fire while alive. It was the Russian Air Force under Putin that started to destroy ISIS, not Barry Hussein Obama, who refused to do the job. Listen to me very carefully. Civilization itself is under attack right now. You know, this morning I spoke to a few people, and I got a lot of emails from a few people I respect, and maybe I'll share some of them with you. But one of them was a very famous Democrat attorney, one of the most famous, but I'm talking old line, JFK era Democrat. Don't confuse them with the progressive vermin of San Francisco of today. I'm talking about old line Democrat, fair-minded liberal. There were such men. They don't exist much anymore. And he said to me, he called me incensed. He said, "Can you tell your friend Donald Trump how to handle this?" Because he's a very famous attorney, this man. He said, "There's only one way for him to handle it and get up there and say, of course I told the FBI director, if you can. If you can." I didn't say you should. If you can. Drop this inquisition against these people. Because he's a good man. Flynn is a good man. He's my friend. That shows loyalty. Do you understand? It shows that Donald Trump has something that none of the Democrat polyps have, which is integrity and loyalty to friends. Do you understand what's going on here? Loyalty, integrity, something that Schumer never learned in the dirty streets of Brooklyn. Something that Pelosi never learned in the filth in which she dwells. He said, "Tell him to go on the attack and say, of course I defended Flynn and told the FBI director, if you can, not you should, if you can, move away from this. He's a good man. He didn't do anything wrong here." He said, "There's nothing illegal with that." He gave me some other advice. There's absolutely no case whatsoever for impeachment. None. In fact, if you think there is, you're really living in a dream world. I got another letter from my attorney, Daniel Horowitz. And he said impeachment based upon the Comey memo is very unlikely. Here's why. If Comey really was solicited in a way that was clearly illegal, he had two choices. One, he could submit a report to the Attorney General and seek a prosecution. Two, he could create a memo, report, and do further investigation, that is, set up a sting, or attempt to garner more proof than just his word against the president's. As far as I know, writes my attorney, as far as I know, neither took place. A cynic would say that Comey was holding it over Trump as blackmail, but I give no credence to that at all. The power would fade over time, and the delay in reporting would make the use of the threat a bluff. That leaves us with the idea that Comey probably felt pressured, but also believed that the conduct did not constitute a crime. It is the only logical conclusion. Comey is a lawyer and an experienced law enforcement officer, and he is smart and not afraid of anyone as far as I can tell. For all of these reasons, his noting of the contact, but his taking no further action, screams to me, there is nothing here. And there is more. Much more. And unfortunately, the propaganda damage has already been done. Last night, I received a number of emails from a friend of mine in Los Angeles. He said every restaurant he went in, that's all they were talking about, was Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia. He said one restaurant after another, wherever he went, at one table after the next, the psychotic liberals have bought it hook, line, and sinker. The idiots in West Hollywood who don't know their toenails from their DNA. We're talking about not the radical Islamic threat to our civilization, but Trump and Russia, Trump and Russia, Trump and Russia. So the damage has already been done. He's doing his work. In the midst of being assaulted by the lowest forms of humanity, he continues to do the job we sent him to Washington to do. Now, if you think I'm going to abandon him like all of the never-Trumpers, if you think I'm going to stab him in the back and jump ship because all the others are doing it, I'm not going to do that. I'm made of better stuff than that. I'm not going to join the chorus of those who were for Cruz or for any of the other lessers who could not win. They are now sticking a knife in Trump's back as he is in trouble. The answer is stick a knife in the other party's back, not in his back. And I've said this before, and I will say it again as I said it to the Democrat attorney today. What is missing, I said, sir, is a Roy Cohn. If I were Donald Trump, I would hire 100 aggressive lawyers under a Roy Cohn-like lawyer, and I would investigate all of those who are persecuting me with these false charges. I would put 10 investigators on every senator, every congressman, every reporter who has it in for me. And once I turn over every rock in their lives, and I expose what's real about their pollution, you will see most of this will go away. It's astonishing to me how successful propaganda can be. It's shocking to me how they could take a man like Donald Trump, as flawed as he is, and turn him into a villain. A villain he is not. Flawed he is. And how, by attacking Trump, what they're really doing is attacking the Americans who voted for Trump. Make no mistake about it. By attacking Trump, they're saying, drop dead on the border with Mexico. We love the drugs. We love the crime. We love the illegal aliens. We love the meth dealers pouring over the border. We love the throat cutters with tattoos. We want more of them in our cities because we love the drug trade. By attacking Trump, they're saying, we love an unfair trade deal where Eddie loses his job. We love jobs going to Canada. We love jobs going to Mexico. We love jobs going to China. We want the white male suffering with nothing in this country. We want the white male out of work. We want him humiliated and broken. And language? We don't want a language in this country. We want a bastardization. We want no one to understand the next man. We want a Tower of Babel in this nation. They are attacking us. They're attacking the core of the nation. They're attacking every last one of us who voted for Trump. Make no mistake about it. The battle lines are drawn. The game has begun. And I am Michael Savage, and I'm not jumping ship just because you think it is convenient to do so. I am a loyal man. It should be noted that both acting FBI Director McCabe and the former director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, who doesn't shut his clap-trap mouth, have refuted that notion already. There is absolutely no collusion whatsoever with Russia. Now, having said that, My big, high, powerful Democrat lawyer friend said to me, Trump should give a national press conference. He should have done it already and stop tweeting. Just what I said. Stop with the juvenile adolescent tweeting. Stop it. Stop it. Stop the tweeting. It's not presidential. Give a national conference in the Oval Office with the seal of the presidency in front of him and say, yes, I defended General Flynn because he is a good man. And I would do it again. And number two, yes, I did tell the ambassador about the dangers of radical Islam and their attempts to use laptops to blow up airplanes, because that is my job as president, to protect people. And I would do it again with any other world leader who is our ally. And he said that would be the end of it. Instead of hiding and tweeting and tweeting and hiding, Trump needs one piece of advice. Fire your communications director. Fire everybody around you in the communications division. They are failing you, and that is why you are in trouble. Period. That's my opinion. Fire them all and start afresh. By attacking Donald Trump, they are attacking every one of us who voted for Donald Trump. By smearing Donald Trump with the lies that the Soviets developed in the 1920s and the 1930s, the communists developed these tactics. By smearing Donald Trump with these Soviet-era tactics, they are smearing every one of us, every one of these decent Americans like you, like me, who went to the polls. We didn't beat anybody up. We didn't burn anything down. We didn't attack any police. We didn't use the vile tactics of Black Lives Matter. We don't use the cowardly tactics of those with masks over their faces. We bit our tongues and we went to the polls and we voted. And by attacking Trump, they are attacking our vote. By attacking our vote, they're attacking democracy. They're attacking the presidency. You know, and I know there's nothing there. You know, this whole thing was a creation of the Hillary Clinton campaign. It is now snowballed into a fake avalanche that they're starting to believe themselves. And you have to stay strong in this avalanche. You must stay strong, and you must not yield to your liberal neighbor in apartment 5A on floor 32 on East 65th Street. Don't let them run you down. Illegitimae non caberundum.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. Just a little housekeeping on the program right now. Remember the petition urging President Trump and the U.S. State Department to demand Britain remove Michael Savage from his travel ban list? Well, I'm pleased to say that over 20,000 people have signed this petition. It's on michaelsavage.com. I recommend that you sign it if you wish. And I am waiting to send it to Donald Trump until after he's back from this trip and things calm down. I'm certainly not going to send it in the midst of this made-up firestorm. So keep on signing and keep on sending. In America, most sane politicians have now run for cover, and they've stopped with the Russia, Russia, Russia. They realize that they painted themselves into a corner, and moreover, with the appointment of Mr. Mueller, they're liable to get caught into the very bear trap that they think they laid for Donald Trump and his surrogates. It could be that the Democrats are going to get caught in it because they're as dirty as sin, as we all know. The only idiot who continues to hammer the Kremlin thing is the biggest nut of all, Maxine Waters, who, again, I would say, take the time over the weekend to look up Maxine Waters and Freddie Mae and Fannie Mae, and you will see how dirty she is going back to those days. This woman oversaw Fannie Mae and Freddie Mae when it was falling down and breaking down and going bankrupt. She did nothing to stop it. And here she is now, going again on the go-to place for the Soviet propaganda of our time, MSNBC and Clip 06. You've got to hear this one. Listen carefully.
I really do believe that much of what you saw coming out of Trump's mouth was a play from Putin's playbook. I think that when you saw him absolutely calling Hillary crooked, lock her up, all of that was developed. I think that was developed strategically with people from the Kremlin, with Putin.
Now, you know, her constituency might believe stuff like that. But how can any rational or educated person listen to this woman and not say it's time for her to be removed from the Democrat Party? Actually, I hope they don't remove her. Because the more she talks, the more we have a chance of getting people from the independent side over to the rational side. Now, Pelosi went on the attack and stuttered about Trump's budget for preventing the cleanup of hazardous waste. I guess she's sorry that that money's going to dry up. Listen to 08 now. Pelosi went from Russia now to hazardous waste. Listen to this one.
The president is gutting the EPA and slashing funding for cleaning up hazardous substances cutting funds for clean air and clean water. Why do people even think public policy is important? As a mother, what do I need government to do for my children and my grandchildren?
Are you listening?
Clean air, clean water. That you can't do for yourself. Clean air, clean water, food safety.
So there's big money in clean air, clean water, and food safety. Now that she woke up from the fantasy that the Russia conspiracy theory was going to bring down Trump, she's back to business as usual. That's all. It's that simple. Here's another one to break your heart. Because of the evil ACLU, a sheriff has been ordered to remove Blessed Are the Peacemaker decals from his squad car. Number one, Donald Trump, investigate the ACLU under many different statutes, arrest the heads of the ACLU when they are found guilty, and seize their assets.
Savage.
The Soviet press is at it again today. The so-called New York Times, which would have been a very happy publication during Stalin's time, with editor-in-chief Mr. Beria in charge, now they're out with another bombshell. President Trump told Russian officials in the Oval Office this month that firing the FBI director Comey had relieved great pressure on him, according to a document summarizing the meeting. I just fired the head of the FBI. He was crazy. A real nut job, Trump said, which was read to the New York Times by an American official. Here we go again. I faced great pressure because of Russia. That's taken off. Trump added, I'm not under investigation. Again, an American official. The White House document, which was based on notes taken from inside the Oval Office. Again, who's the leaker? Because the leaker should go to jail. See, the issue here is the leaker. The leaker goes to prison. It is illegal. And I want to know who you think the leaker is, because this is the biggest mystery story of all. I'd like to know who it is that Trump trusts, who is his Brutus. I'd like to know who you think is destroying Trump from within, because someone is doing it. The fact of the matter is there was no obstruction of justice. Everybody knows that. There's nothing to do with Russia. Russia, I will remind you, is our natural ally against radical Islam. And were it not for the Russian Air Force, ISIS would still be expanding rather than retreating and running away. And so Russia is our friend, not our enemy. Our real enemies are within the press and within the Democrat establishment. They have declared war upon us, the Trump voters. With these smears, with these innuendos, with these lies, with this libel, they have declared war on our desire for secure borders, English as the central language, and a reaffirmation of the American culture. That's right, you heard me. It's an attack upon our very sovereignty. These are the same mindset. This is the same mindset in America that they had in Europe and they had in England, in London in particular, opposing Brexit. The real English, that would be the working English, and I don't mean necessarily the poor working English. I would mean the nationalists in England. I would mean the fishermen in England, who loved England and the English identity, wanted to escape from the bureaucracy that was strangling them, a bureaucracy run out of Brussels by a group of technocrats and bureaucrats who had no respect for the sovereignty of England. And so they exited from, as you well know, the European Union. That was Brexit. We, the Trump voters, were the U.S. exit voters in America. And the senators, the congressmen, the New York Times, the press, the Soviet-era press, they are the ones opposing Amexit. They do not want us exiting from the New World Order, do they? They do not want us to have secure borders with Mexico, do they? They do not want us stopping the importation of third worlders into this nation, who steal our jobs, who bring in disease, and who otherwise dissimulate the United States of America in every way you can imagine, destroying our culture. Do you feel like an American when you walk in the city of America, a city of America? You feel like a stranger in your own country, don't you? Well, you shouldn't. There used to be an adage, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And that means you want to be a citizen, get online! You want to be a citizen? Learn our language and learn our culture or get the hell out of here. Listen to clip number two, where you hear the so-called New York Times journalist, Michael Schmidt, admitting to the other fake newser, Brian Williams, that he never saw the memo upon which the entire fallacious attack on Trump is based.
Why is it the Times has the story but not the memo?
Well, I've been working on a story for the past few days about the fact that Comey had written these. We thought that that was pretty significant in and of himself. And then in the process of pushing on those doors this morning, I learned more about one of these memos. And someone that had seen them recounted details to
voice?
Me. We felt comfortable with those details. We did some diligence on the information.
You hear the voice?
And we realized how sensitive that information was and how potentially important it could be. And we moved as quickly as we could.
Try him. Take this man and try him. Put this reporter on trial. Let me tell you something. Just because you're a reporter doesn't mean you can make things up and destroy lives. Let me tell you something. You cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. And you cannot smear a man, be he a lowly plumber or a lowly carpenter or a lowly garbage man or the president of the United States. There are libel laws in this nation. And this polyp just admitted that he built the whole thing upon a house of cards. Just listening to his slimy voice, you know what kind of person he is. You went to school with children like this. You know what kind of sneaks they are. And you think because they work for the New York Times, that makes them kosher, it makes them better, it makes them cleaner, it makes them wholer. You are mistaken. Now, the president will not attack him and sue him for libel. But I want you, the listeners of this show, to understand that we are living through a revolution in this country right now and a civil war in this country right now. The civil war began with Hussein Obama. The civil war began when he pitted race against race, when he pitted one race against the police and started a war on police that has left dozens and dozens of policemen dead. The police in America are afraid to do their jobs because of the snake that occupied the White House for 8 straight years. The journalism profession has descended to that of the Soviet Union, where they're now using fake memos based upon phone calls that they haven't even seen to try to bring down a presidency. And yet, here's the terrible truth. Propaganda works. The terrible truth is that the propaganda of the Soviet left is working its wonders, destroying everything that we believe in. But as I said yesterday, and I will repeat today, in viciously, what shall I say, maliciously attacking Trump, they're attacking every one of us who voted for Trump. They're telling all of the hundreds of millions of us, well, what is it, 30, 40, 50 million of us voted for him, whatever the number is. They're telling the tens of millions of us who voted for Trump that we're no good, that we're liars, that our votes don't count. Moreover, what they're doing here is destroying our agenda. And the agenda is very clear. It's an agenda that the senators do not want. You see, the senators like it the way it is. You see, the Democrats like it the way it is. And what is the way it is? Well, here's the way it is. They fight the fact that sanctuary cities, so-called, are the conduits for illicit drugs in the United States of America. No one's ever said that to you. Follow the money. And then check out the senators who fight most strongly to maintain sanctuary city status. You see, the drugs come through the border. They are then transported by human mules into the cities. And the police cannot do their job effectively because of the laws that these senators and congressmen put in place to hamstring law enforcement. And so the drugs then are transported from these sanctuary cities to the rest of America, poisoning our nation. So if you want to know why all of these very, very good Democrat senators and all of these very, very good Democrat congresspeople are so in favor of sanctuary cities, if you actually think it's because they have compassion for people from south of the border, you are more naive than you can ever imagine. It has something to do with nothing to do with the compassion. It has to do with they like the drugs. They like the drug flow. They like the crime flow. They like the fact that the criminals with tattoos running up and down their bodies, who the police are trying to stop, are intimidating the middle class in this country and keeping us cowed so that these criminals in the Senate and in the Congress can continue to rob us blind without us saying a word, without us looking at their double dealing and their behind the dealing. So, my friends, there's all a connection here, and it's usually monetary. It has nothing to do with advancing humanity. It has nothing to do with compassion for the poor. It has nothing to do with that at all. Because if it did, they wouldn't be flooding America with cheap labor, would they? They would be helping the poor Americans right now who are begging for good jobs. They'd be helping the poor whites who want to work. They'd be helping the poor blacks who want to work. They wouldn't be bringing in cheap labor from every cesspool on the planet. Know the truth. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's what I was raised on. Do I live up to it every moment? No. I do the best I can. Of all of the adages, or all of the, let us say, prescriptions of the Bible, I call them prescriptions, not prohibitions. Many of us think the Bible's all about prohibitions, and of course there are many, but there are many prescriptions in the Bible, as written by the good doctor in heaven. And one of the great prescriptions written by the good doctor in heaven is to tell the truth. We are living in an age of lies and fabrication. It's not fake news, it's way beyond that cute little phrase, fake news. Men like Wolf Blitzer should be tried for whatever the crime it is he's committing by smearing the President of the United States based upon innuendo. I guarantee you this is a crime. I can guarantee you this is the work that would have made Lavrenti Beria, the longest lived and most influential of Joseph Stalin's secret police chiefs, very, very proud. Lavrenti Beria was one of the most dangerous people in the history of the Soviet Union. He was the one who oversaw the smearing of any enemy of the state. He was the one who administered the vast Gulag labor camps. Maybe that is something Wolf Blitzer would like to do during the next administration. Stalin brought Beria to Moscow back in 1938, and he made him the head of the secret police, the NKVD. The secret police. And this was during the Great Purge, where millions were imprisoned or executed. Millions of people throughout the Soviet Union were imprisoned or executed as alleged enemies of the people. And it was because of people like those in the media today that these millions were executed or imprisoned. Make no mistake about it. It was based upon smear and innuendo. All you had to do was point at your neighbor and say he was not loyal to the state. The next thing he knew, he was taken away. Ask the Soviets about it. Ask your Russian neighbors who lived through this if I'm making this up. And this is how communism was built. And the fact of the matter is they accused people of being traitors or spies. And interestingly enough, Beria himself fell to the same exact methodology. After he was ambushed by Mr. Khrushchev, Khrushchev launched a scathing attack on this former KGB spy chief, the NKVD spy chief, and he accused Beria himself of being, listen to this carefully, of being a traitor and a spy in the pay of British intelligence. Does it sound familiar? Is that not exactly what they're doing to Donald Trump and his associates? Did you hear what they're doing now? They're doing exactly what was done in the Soviet Union. Well, when he was accused, Beria was taken by surprise. And he said, "What's going on, Nikita Sergeyevich? Why are you picking fleas in my trousers?" But then Beria and all the other defendants who were accused falsely of being in the pay of British intelligence were sentenced to death in 1953. This is what we've descended to with the New York Times and the Washington Post, which is now the Amazon Post. They are Soviet-era news rags that put out false information to destroy their political enemies. And I want to repeat something I said yesterday, but in a different way. By attacking Donald Trump, by smearing Donald Trump, they are smearing every one of us who voted for Trump. By using the tactics of Beria that the communists used, they are smearing every one of us, every one of our voters, every one of these decent Americans like you and me who went to the polls. We didn't beat anyone up. We didn't burn anything down. We didn't attack any police. We didn't use the vile tactics of Black Lives Matter. We didn't use the cowardly tactics of those with masks over their faces in Seattle and Berkeley. We bit our tongues and we went to the polls and we voted. And now by attacking Trump with these lies, they're attacking our vote. By attacking our vote, they're attacking democracy itself. They're attacking the presidency. They're tearing down the halls of civilization. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Is the Savage Nation. So not only do we have a Soviet-era press inventing to smear and to destroy a person, which is what went on in the Soviet Union. Schumer should know that of all people, but I'm so disappointed in people who, I never followed them politically, but I thought they had a smidgen of authenticity. They don't. Then you've got Elijah Cummings. Elijah Cummings lived through the Civil Rights Movement, where he worked so hard for the betterment of his own people. Wouldn't you think that Elijah Cummings would want a fairness and an honesty? But he doesn't. Here is Elijah Cummings begging the press to find something, to make it up, in essence, in 07. You got to hear this.
If there is any moment that the press in our country's history has a major role, it is this moment. This is your moment. You have got to put it out there. So people can understand what is going on. I have said it before, and I'll say it again. This is about the fight for the soul of our democracy. We cannot afford to lose this one.
So what do you mean? You fight for the soul of your democracy by destroying democracy, Cummings? You know that you have just thrown away whatever scintilla of your legacy was left. You have just smeared yourself. You're asking the press in this soundbite to make something up. You said, I beg you to find something. This is your moment. You've got to put it out there. Put what out there? They're all admitting they're making it up. They're admitting that they have nothing. And you're telling them to make sure that they make something up? I mean, it's getting crazier by the second. Unnamed sources, as Breitbart is reporting, Washington Post. It's not the Washington Post. It's the Amazon Post. The most powerful businessman who has come up in the last few years, Jeff Bezos, bought the Washington Post. And because he has no background in journalism and no background whatsoever in literature or history, he is now smearing through his Washington Post acquisition. So it says Washington Post White House beat moves to blind items and now sources and subjects are anonymous. Published a blind item White House report. Where not only its sources, but the subject of the article is anonymous. Are you listening to this? This is exactly what went on in the old Soviet Union. It's ironic that they're using Russia as a whipping boy to whip up a frenzy of hatred against Donald Trump. When in fact, what they're doing here is repeating all of the evils of the old Russia when it was the Soviet Union. They've fallen into the trap of becoming exactly that which they have warned us against. But as I wrote in the 60s, and it was not Pogo, I wrote it in the East Village, I have met the enemy, and the enemy is us. And that goes for the entire Democrat Party. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.